It's July. That means sometimes the commercial breaks are shorter. Everybody, you know what the problem with July is?
What's that?
It feels like nobody's working, but in actuality, most people are working, but enough people aren't working that it feels like nobody's working. So what you have is a majority of people who feel like they're the ones getting screwed, when in fact, most people are working. Does that make any sense at all to you? Like, I would say, like, maybe 25%
most
of people
are working who ain't working because most people are working, but they think you ain't working.
I think if like it was 850, working. It would make perfect sense. But right now, it's 618.
Oh, no,
and
no,
that
no.
didn't make any sense.
It's 6:18.
It's 6:18 in the morning, so I'm thoroughly lost.
Like, people are going to their office, and like 25 to 30% of the people are on vacation this week. So yeah. It feels like the office is empty, even though more people are there. Then you go out and you drive around, and everything's empty.
Yeah, no
so
traffic.
There's no traffic. So it feels like you're in this ghost town. It feels like you do that magical time before a big storm where the bad weather hasn't hit yet, but like the roads are empty and everybody's already gotten their storm supplies and it feels like everything like a ghost town almost. That's what it feels like.
That's my favorite time to drive.
Is it right before a tropical storm or hurricane?
It gets beautiful. It's beautiful outside.
It's beautiful. Nobody's on the road. You can speed everywhere. Yeah.
Do you remember, let's see, Travis, were you there? It was in 2005. It
was before my rookie year.
Jonesy, what hurricane was that?
That was Ike.
That was Ike?
No, Katrina.
No,
Katrina was
Katrina didn't hit Houston.
Yeah, no, you said Ike was hit. Ike was the one who had everybody.
It's Ike.
Rita.
Rita was after Katrina, so that's why everybody was
freaking out.
But everybody took off.
And Ike is the one who messed my house. Ike is what messed my house up.
Right. Yeah, Ike actually was a big deal. Rita was
a bluffer.
So Rita came during the bye week for the Texans.
That was in 2004, because I was on injured reserve with the Dolphins at that time. And I was at a hotel on Brickell Key in South Florida.
When what?
When Rita came.
Rita was 05.
Nah, it was 04, bro.
It was 05.
Oh, yeah, 05, yeah. I was on IR on 05.
Yeah, because it was Dom Capers last year.
Yeah, 05 was when I was on IR.
Everybody ran.
So everybody, this is what happens. Dom Capers comes in the morning. And, you know, Dom was notorious, just a workaholic. And Dom Capers came in and he said, oh, listen, everybody, Greg, my assistant came in this morning and he said, hey, Dom, what are we going to do about this hurricane? And I said to Greg, what hurricane? And because Dom didn't pay attention to anything other than football.
Yeah.
So, but it was the bye week. So they gave everybody off. Everybody made out for like Dallas and everything.
I went to L.A.
You went to L.O., you got on a plane.
Yeah.
Okay. And I remember Dante Robinson's dog died
on the
because
way
he was stuck in traffic and couldn't, like, ran out of gas, didn't have any air conditioning because everybody was trapped on the road. I had a newborn, my daughter, and we're stuck on, like, Katy Freeway trying to get out of town for 5 hours. She's screaming because she was colicky the whole time. Finally, I was like, all right, we're turning around. And it was my plan was, all right, we'll wait for all the traffic to clear out. If it doesn't, then we'll take side roads somewhere. But we're just going to hunker down at home, get all the storm supplies. And then by the time, like, the day before the hurricane showed up, everybody else was out of town. And it was. It's beautiful weather. You got that high pressure before the low pressure comes in. And it was pretty much, like, by then we could tell that it was probably going to be safe. So we stuck around. And it was. It's so weird to drive through the Galleria at, like, 1 in the afternoon with wide open lanes.
With nobody out there.
Beautiful weather. It felt like post-apocalyptic. Like, it felt like you had just been lived through the zombie apocalypse.
You know
or something.
What was funny was I went to the airport, and only reason I got there on time was an ambulance rolling in the emergency lane, and I literally just swooped right behind them, and I'm ambulance chasing basically down the highway, and I get in there.
It's very illegal.
Very. So I get in the airport, and I'm like, dude. It took me forever, but it still took me a while. And the guy was like, man, I left my house like 20 minutes ago. I'm like, where'd you come from? He's like, Sugarland. I'm like, no way. And he's like, people forget 59 runs all the way to the airport.
Yeah.
And he was like, nobody was on 59. He literally was just, because 59 really is only in the city.
Yeah.
But it goes far enough for you to get to the airport.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like,
That's funny because yeah, like Troy Evans, I know, took side roads all the way up to Dallas. it was so weird.
But I mean, he took side roads. He probably got there with some consistency. He didn't have as much struggles because he took the little side roads.
And those were back in the days, the glory days, where to, like, to have GPS kind of set you apart. Like, it was actually a big deal. Not everybody had GPS on their phone
or their cars.
So if you set an alternate route, like avoiding freeways and everything, you had a huge competitive advantage.
Yes.
It was like when Daryl Morey first started using analytics and nobody else was. Like, holy crap. You mean three-pointers are worth more than two-pointers? That's what you were doing with GPS. Oh, so this is what we teased. Kevin Durant, obviously going to the Brooklyn Nets. It's kind of a big deal. And the Warriors announced yesterday that they're going to go ahead and retire his jersey. Like, immediately after he leaves, the Warriors say thank you for everything. The two championships in 3 years, the two finals MVPs, all that very impressive. This sparked way more debate than I thought there would be. I actually approve of the move with one asterisk. I don't think you should be retiring anybody's jersey anytime close to, like, the heat of the action. There needs to be some time. Like, maybe they retire.
I don't think they're going to officially put him in the rafters right now.
Yeah.
But I think, like they said, nobody else is going to wear 35. So the day he retires, they'll figure out a ceremony to retire his jersey. I just think they're saying nobody will wear 35 anymore.
And Lacob said as long as the current ownership is there.
But see, this is my thing about it. If he never gets hurt, do you think they do the same thing?
I don't think
there's any way possible that they even put this out there into the thought process that they're going to retire his jersey. And so the fact that, to me, they're doing
hurt.
It.
He don't get hurt. They win another title.
But that's not the point, though. I think they're doing it as a I'm sorry for what we put you through. We put you in a bad situation.
Because if they would have won another championship and he left, I don't think they try to retire his jersey. He played because he wanted to play.
Of course he did, but I'm just telling you what – it's a PR thing, in my opinion.
Because they
think they're doing it to make themselves feel better and look better in PR.
Because it doesn't matter, like, what actually happened. What matters is between Iguodala talking and between just Kevin Durant's surliness, I think there's a narrative out there that, wow, the Warriors just basically ran Durant through the ringer and pressured him to be out there, the medical staff. So whatever the actual kernel of truth is of the matter – the Warriors, whether they genuinely feel bad or not, there's a little bit of that. I think you're right, Wade. If it weren't for the injury situation, and if they won the title, that's the ironic thing. If they won a title with Kevin Durant healthy and he was still leaving, then nobody on earth is wanting to cut Durant a break. It's a conventional, screw you. What the hell? You're too good for us?
No, they still would have retired him.
I don't believe that at all.
Not immediately,
but they wouldn't have let nobody else wear 35.
Oh yeah, they wouldn't have done what Oklahoma City did. No. You know what I mean? Oklahoma City, they was just kind of like, who wants to do a random dude afterwards? But they were upset with him. If Golden State wins the championship, they're not upset with him. They're like, thank you for your time.
Thank you for three titles in four years.
You know, enjoy yourself wherever you go. We're gonna reload with whatever we got coming up next.
It's a gentleman's retirement. When you just don't give the number out. You kind of, okay, honor the dude for at least a couple years. Unless a big name dude comes along. Like, oh, this just happened in the NFL with Gerald McCoy.
Gerald McCoy left.
And Gerald McCoy, this is where I'm, okay, Gerald McCoy left. Obviously with some bad feelings. But Ndamukong Suh comes
but
in.
But hold on, he didn't leave. He got pushed out the door, and it was kind of ugly. He got released, right?
But
let's be real.
So he did get cut.
Gerald McCoy, I like Gerald McCoy as a player. But Gerald McCoy ain't no Ndamukong Suh.
Whoa. Slow down, my friend. Gerald McCoy is a better player than Ndamukong Suh. I played them both. In my opinion, that Gerald McCoy is a better player than Ndamukong Suh.
Is it fair to say that they're about the same, like if you put them on the same tier, they're about the same tier? Okay, so if you leave and somebody, a free agent comes in and he's your own tier, and he's a veteran player, like is Ndamukong Suh supposed to take a number that's not his normal number because, like, to honor the memory of Gerald McCoy. Gerald McCoy's not good enough for that. If Gerald McCoy's a Hall of Famer or something, I'd say sure.
And not just that, they're the same generation.
Didn't they come in the same class? I'm pretty sure they came in the same class.
So I'm definitely not wearing another number outside because you're not here.
But that's Gerald McCoy's house. You came to his house.
What you mean?
What you mean? What you mean?
He don't live here no more.
I mean, that's,
he don't live here.
He don't live here no
more.
So your stepdaddy just moved in.
So do I need to go run up on JJ like? So I need to run up on JJ like, hey man, you ain't give me no tribute.
Hey, you gotta
because you're older.
You're
right.
You're older. Yeah, like how many years apart were y'all in y'all's career? Like seven
six
years.
Six or seven. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the same thing. Those boys came out the same class.
But here's my question.
What's your question?
Because you just said you put them on the same level.
Yeah.
Who goes to the Hall of Fame first?
Who knows?
Well, neither of them are going to the Hall of Fame right now. They're not on track for that.
What is?
They're not on track for that. What happens over the next two or three years, maybe they can get themselves in a serious discussion. I just know playing against both of them, Gerald McCoy was a better overall player.
Gerald McCoy.
That's just my opinion. That's one man's opinion.
See, Ndamukong Suh wore 93 at Nebraska.
He did.
Wore 93 at Detroit. Did he wear 93?
I think he's worn it everywhere.
The Rams? He's had it everywhere he goes.
Yeah, he's always had it.
I feel like that trumps everything, especially when a guy gets to the end of his career. Like, there's nothing sadder than a guy who's like past his prime and has to change his number. Plus, you got to remember, Gerald McCoy did all like the promotional videos when he signed with Carolina. I'm home, baby. Like all this stuff. He was trying to rub it in the eyes a little bit. This is where I'll put Gerald McCoy and Kevin Durant in a little bit of the same boat. Gerald McCoy, as bright a guy as he is, and in, like in a lot of ways, he was mature beyond his years when he first came into the league. Like, he's that kind of mature where people question his love for football because, like, hey, wait a second. This guy seems like he actually, like, understands life. So he listened to the haters on social media a little too much. And he started to, like, temper, like, the fan base in his mind became all the loudest people on social media. So he went to Carolina, and it wasn't just sticking it in the face of Bruce Arians. It felt like he was sticking it in the face of all his haters on social media.
But you got to look at it. He was the man in Tampa Bay. And so for them, the organization determines whose number they're going to get. They could have easily said, you know what, you know, Gerald was here for how many years? 8 years, 9 years, however long it was that he was in the organization. He was the leader of that team the entire time he was there. They could have said, you know what, we're going to hold this one, Ndamukong, mm-hmm. and see what he said. Or even if they had a conversation, it would have been better. But yeah. I think that Gerald was sensitive for the way he reacted, but I do think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were sensitive, or they were kind of petty with the fact that they gave that number out all willy-nilly.
I'm over here doing both. Like you said, both of them came in 2010. One was pick two. One was pick three.
Yeah, they've had their careers mirrored each other. Look at Ndamukong's numbers versus Gerald's numbers.
Both of them going to the Hall of Fame.
Are they?
Both of them. It ain't even about the sacks. One got six Pro Bowls and three first team All Pros.
Gerald McCoy's not going to the Hall of Fame.
Gerald McCoy has six Pro Bowls and three first team All Pros, a second team All Pro.
He's got three first team All Pros.
Ndamukong Suh got three first team All Pros, two second team All Pros, and five Pro Bowls.
Gerald McCoy, that's funny because both those guys dropped off, but you would. Maybe it's just because
the problem is they've been on bad teams their entire career, except for last year. Ndamukong was with the Rams.
Yeah,
but
Sue's been productive beyond his sack numbers. I don't know if Gerald McCoy is as productive overall, but I didn't realize he'd been to three All Pros.
Three All Pro, and
that's the big one too. The Pro Bowls, they've been lining up
right next to each other their whole careers.
One has 53 sacks, the other one has 56. Wow.
So
they're two mirrors of each other.
Yeah.
But are we in agreement, Kevin Durant? Okay to retire the jersey? He's got two finals MVPs, two championships.
I'm not going to say it's okay. In general, I would say it would be okay. But in this case, I don't think it's okay because I know and I feel like they're doing it because they're trying to look better. It's a PR thing. They know that they came off looking real bad with him blowing out his Achilles and putting him out there too soon. So I think when I know that it's done for that specific reason, then I don't think it's real. So I'm going to say, nah, it's not cool in this case.
No. I agree. I'm saying no. I agree with you, actually. You've convinced me.
I'm fine with it. I mean, he was going to get there eventually. I don't think you had to make an announcement and say, oh, we're going to retire his jersey. Just do it. Like, don't let anybody else wear it, and you just move on.
This is real life, though. If you're gonna do something for somebody, people, especially in the corporate or professional world, they're going to let people know they did it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It ain't gonna be one of the things like I'm gonna go donate to an organization and not tell anybody like players do all the time. But that's a whole nother topic.